This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
This is Wellness 101, brought to you by the Institute of Natural Health, your home for common sense, science-based healthcare. Here's your host, Dr. TJ Williams.
And welcome to the show, everyone. I'm your host, Dr. TJ. With me, as always, is Erin.
Hi.
She's on it this time.
Yep.
So today on the show, we are going to be talking about, I think this is a topic that appeals to everyone or will appeal to everyone. I don't know that everyone is going to, it's going to be a first choice show for them, but I think it has a huge impact on everyone. We're going to talk today about positive psychology, positive self-talk, how we feel about ourselves,
right,
what we tell ourselves.
And how specifically that can impact your health.
How it impacts.
Tie it, yeah, back to health.
Yeah. What we say to ourselves affects our physiology, which ultimately affects our overall health. There's so much information out there about this positive and negative self-talk. I mean, you're hearing and seeing all these things now about body positive imagery and all this stuff, and how you think about what you look like and all this stuff. And I get that to a degree, but this is really what we're focusing on, is like how, what you tell yourself, what you think to yourself regarding your health. I think this has a much bigger impact on health than people realize. One of the reasons for this, I think it's ingrained in us to be negative. Erin's smiling at me. She doesn't. she disagrees with me here.
I
think it's 100% that we are ingrained to be negative. I think we're out of the gate ingrained that way, even as a child. Well, maybe it's a learned behavior, but it's a behavior that we learn very quickly, because there's studies out there, if you ask someone, that's not how it goes. If someone has gone to a restaurant and had a bad experience, research indicates that that person will tell 7 people about that bad experience. But if they have a positive experience, they will only tell 3. We're very quick to commiserate and talk about how bad things are for us. We get the questions, "How are you feeling today?" I don't know how many times I ask that question, and the answer back to me is, "Oh, I'm so tired. Oh, I'm exhausted. Oh, I'm this. Oh, I'm that. Woe is me. Blah, blah, blah." Very rarely is it that people in general say, "I'm awesome." Now, there's always a person or two. I have a couple people in my circle that when you ask them that question, they're always awesome. I try to be positive like that and say, "I'm awesome. Things are going great." But in general, that's not something I see. Erin's smiling at me.
I don't know. And you talked about it being a learned behavior, and maybe it is. But I just think from my own experience, I happen to be one of those people that if there is something bad going on, you would have to really know me to know that, because I would never say that to anyone. And I am in a circle of people, in my daily life, that, don't talk about the negative things.
She her circle is me and the kids. Don't let her fool you.
You have very positive influence.
We are very positive. That's why I say I'm a very positive person. That ta-da. I'm not kidding.
I mean, I just think, you know, and maybe that's just, you know, who I am, but I think things would have to be really bad for me to ever say to somebody, oh, things aren't good or I'm not feeling good. I mean, and how long have I gone without sleep with our second child?
Our second child does not sleep the best.
She is not a sleeper.
She is a stinker is what she is. Bless her little heart.
But I obviously this is an issue or there wouldn't be so much research about it, right? We know that the way that we think and our emotions impact our stress level.
Yes,
and
stress whether those emotions are positive or negative,
right,
it affects us one way or the other.
So why? And maybe that is one of the reasons why I am the way I am. I mean, because we've talked on here before that I've gone through my own chronic health problems, and I think it was probably through that I just decided I, you know, am going to be positive about things because if I'm not, I know I'm, you know, it's going to be harder for me to get better.
Yeah.
So,
that's the thing. I hate this term, but I know people that throw out there and use it a lot, the whole fake it till you make it. It's not really faking it till you make it. It's a rewiring of the brain. The brain is plastic in that it can be rewired. We can train different areas of our brain to operate differently based on what we do. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that later on in the show. But how our brain operates and functions and fires is definitely linked to how we think. And like, I work on this with a lot of our clientele at the office. I talk to them about, you know, how do you talk to yourself? And really, I don't start this communication or this topic with people until I've seen them a few times, because that gives me the opportunity. A lot of times when people come to me initially, they're in a bad way. They're sick.
Right,
they have
and they
issues.
Rightfully so are focused on the problems.
They're focused
on
the problems.
I mean, that's why they're coming to see you.
And so we ask them, how are they doing? And you know,
they probably aren't doing very well.
Exactly. Invariably, the answer is, you know, they're not doing great. They've got issues. They're focusing on their problems, and that's
because
okay.
They want you to fix their problems,
they
right?
They want me to realize.
In that context, it makes complete sense.
It makes complete sense. But what I want to see is when we see these positive changes, do they comment on the positive changes, or are they focusing on what little remaining negative things are still going on in their lives? If they're switching and becoming these positive people because they're seeing positive changes and they're excited about the positive change, awesome. We can talk a little bit about this. I can talk about how their self-talk and how good that is, and it's great that they're seeing these changes, and that makes a huge difference and will make a huge difference in how fast they recover. But when someone comes in and, like, for instance, I see on paper, through their blood work, through their labs, that there has been massive improvement, but yet they still focus on the fact that their pinky toe hurts. We've got an issue, right?
Well, right. I mean, and I do understand what you're saying. I do. But I also, I know you love it when I take the opposing view on this.
Yeah.
But I would say, even, you know, though I am typically a very positive person, in my doctor's office would be the one place that I would share whatever is negative.
The question that I almost always pose, though, is how are things improving? And when I get an answer back that says, well, they're not, I still have this, or I still have that, or I still have something else.
Yeah.
Then, well, that's a...
And that makes sense.
Telling me how you think.
I get it. No, and that does make sense. I would typically answer that question by saying what's improving, and then say, I am still having an issue with whatever.
Right.
You know, I mean.
And if that's the answer, then my reaction is different. And we start saying, okay, that's great. So these are the things that are changing. These are the positive things. This is what we're seeing on lab work. This is this. This is that. Now let's focus on what's still an issue.
Right.
As opposed to someone coming in and having massive positive change and then saying, well, that's not they discount all of that.
Right.
They discount the fact that, you know, they maybe they're sleeping better, or their digestion is better, or their headaches are gone, or they don't have indigestion anymore, or whatever. They're still focused on the fact that they have a hangnail.
Right. Well, right? And it's funny. It's interesting that you say that, because I'm just thinking back to, you know, my own health journey, and I know that was a really important part to me. I think because when I was really at my worst and there wasn't a lot of positive going on, I did feel like I was negative. And so I didn't really want to talk to people, because I'm like, I literally can't think of anything on my body that doesn't hurt,
right?
Anything that's going the right way. And so it was hard. And so as soon as I started seeing change, I got excited, I got motivated. And I remember telling people, you know, like, this is what's going on. And they're like, you're still 80 pounds and you're 5'6". I mean, like, and I'm right. just like, I know, but I think I'm on the right track because I'm seeing improvement. So it's right. funny. That's interesting that you say that, because I found that with myself, I was trying to be positive and people were like, are you not? You still sleep like most of your life.
Right.
Like, yeah, but
so what you're explaining, that kind of leads us into a next level here, or the next point, or whatever you want to say. So what this is telling us, this is starting to talk about like your own personal character strengths. And I think a lot of people have a hard time identifying and figuring out what their actual character strengths are. Are they creative? Are they brave? Are they fair? Do they have humility? Do they have gratitude? Are these things that happen in their daily lives? Because if people don't have those character traits, I think they tend to focus on the negative aspect of whatever's going on in their life, whether it's their health or the health of a pet or the health of a loved one. I think that not knowing their own character traits and character strengths make a difference. Not necessarily traits, because you can have negative traits as well, but focusing on those character strengths. And there's actually books and things that have been written on these character strengths and how having these and focusing on these can positively impact your health, right? And that's
such as what?
What I just went through: creativity, bravery, fairness, kindness, humility, gratitude. Gratitude is one that I focus on a lot. I have people start writing, especially people that are focusing on the negative. I have them write every day. I have them write down something that they're grateful for, and they cannot repeat what they're grateful for a week. So you can't wake up and say, oh, I'm grateful for my spouse. And then the next day say, I'm grateful for my spouse. You have to come up with something different. It starts making people start to look at the rest of their life and figure out what aspects are there that they're actually grateful for. And once you start having gratitude, all of these other things, positive things, start showing up.
That's interesting. I mean, and I think that makes a lot of sense. I think that that reminds me a lot about, you know, again, when I was going through this, I would constantly tell myself that I am strong, because I couldn't say that I am getting better. But I would, you know, with how, you know, sick I was just always telling myself, wow, I'm strong to get through this, because no one else is going to say. Everyone else was frustrated. Right. Everyone else in my circle was frustrated with me, like, and was constantly, you know, making me feel like I was really weak because I couldn't do basic human functions.
Right.
But I was constantly would repeat to myself, you know, wow, you're so strong. You're so strong for going to the grocery store in this much pain.
Right.
When you're feeling this bad. And so I think that, you know, can really help people to focus on the little bit of positive that, you know, you can.
That's exactly right. All right, we got to take a break. I want to come back and I want to talk about the I am strong and this whole thing that I talk to patients about regarding the words I am. You're listening to Wellness 101.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more rips.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things, like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
You're listening to Wellness 101, brought to you by the Institute of Natural Health. For more information, visit them online at theinstituteofnaturalhealth.com or by phone 314-293-8123.
And welcome back, everyone. If you're just tuning in today on Wellness 101, we are talking about positive psychology, positive self-talk, the importance of how you speak to yourself and how that impacts your health. And before the break, Erin was sharing her story of, you know, some of her story of her journey of being sick and becoming well again. And she made the comment that she used to tell herself, "I am strong." And I said I wanted to come back and talk about that. One of the things that I ask a lot of my patients and a lot of people in our clinic, it's a question that I ask, and I ask if they know what the most powerful word in the English language is. Most of the time they sit there, and 99% of the time I don't get an answer. Usually someone will answer something. But I always say that the most powerful word in the English language is the word that immediately follows the phrase, "I am." Because whatever that is true. And you think about that in your own life. Think about how many times you tell yourself, "I am tired," or "I am exhausted," or "I am," you know, whatever other negative thing, versus how many times you tell yourself things like, "I am strong. I am healing. I am healthy. I am well. I am blessed. I am grateful." It has a huge impact. And if just listen, I promise you, some of you out there just listening to that while you're driving or listening in your headphones to the podcast, it changed everything about what you're thinking and what you're looking at right now. because it just does. Aaron just moved to the microphone and started smiling as soon as I started saying that. It was hilarious. She was just kind of sitting there listening. All right, where's this guy going? Where's TJ going with this? And I start saying it. She starts smiling and sets up to the microphone. Like, I've seen this happen in my clinic. It's a fact. It's in the Geneva Convention. I promise you, it changes how you are.
You're not going to like why I moved to the microphone. Oh, gosh. Because I thought about this, and then I kind of was like, wait, maybe I shouldn't say this. But now you've called me out on it, so I'm going to bring it up anyway. No, when you were saying, I'm so tired and I'm so exhausted, it reminds me of us in our own house with this baby that does not sleep. Because how often do you say that? And I say, I am so grateful for these children.
Yep.
I say it over and over and over.
I say the same. I'm like, you're right. You're right? Absolutely right.
Because it's so easy to focus on the fact that we have literally not slept for almost 7 months. But would we give up the children for it?
No.
Nope.
Not a bit of it.
So it totally changes your mindset. And I think that is, you know, I mean, when you're going through something difficult, it really, mindset is just so important. And I think, you know, when I talked about, you know, repeating to myself, I am strong, like I needed something to tell myself over and over. And I would tell myself, like, most people don't get to actually know, like, how strong they are, right? They haven't been tested.
Right.
I am being tested.
Right.
So now I am stronger than I ever thought I was. You know, was, and I know it now.
Right.
And I mean, and that's something that's actually carried with me even after I've gotten better, because I mean, you know, things happen. There's so many things that, you know, happen day to day in the years since I, you know, have gotten my health back on track, and, you know, bad things happen. And I'm like, that's fine. This is not going to shake me. I mean, at this point I'm like, really? That,
right.
You know, that's nothing compared to what I have been through. So
exactly.
There are benefits to it.
Exactly. And the same thing is true. I mean, so for just a little bit about me, I'll share a little personal stuff. So for, I don't know, how long was I in the men's group? 2 years?
Yeah.
I was part of a men's group, amazing group for a couple years. And one of the things that, like, I was fairly quiet in the group for a long time.
It was a counseling group. People might be wondering.
Oh, yeah, it was a counseling group.
What is a men's group?
What is he talking about?
Right, what do these men do?
What in the world? You're right. It was a counseling group. And so I was in the group for quite a while before I actually started really saying anything. And one day it just kind of came up, like, I don't know exactly what it was and how it came up, but I made mention that one of the things that I did on a daily basis was I talked about to myself out loud by myself things I'm grateful for. It happens every single day. I basically drive very similar route to work. And the, you know, there's about three different ways that I go, and just kind of depends on the day, which route I take or what, you know, what traffic's like, just like any of us. But I have these landmarks on my drive where it triggers. I turn whatever I'm listening to, because I'm usually listening to a podcast, or I'm listening to music, or I'm doing a meditation while I'm driving. And yes, you can do meditations while you drive. I'm actually doing one right now. Oprah and Deepak have one, a new meditation out, and I'm doing that. And so I have these places where it's just my cue. And the volume goes down, and I start talking about the things that I'm grateful for. And I don't allow it to go on and on. I have a place where I drive that I start, and I have a place that I stop. And if I miss it, then because occasionally I'm on the phone on my drive, on my commute. And so if I miss that, then I look at my clock, and I take 30 seconds to a minute when I get into my parking garage, and I run through the same thing. I go through it there. Very rarely do I miss it. I almost always do it on my drive, and I do it every single day. It's a habit. And it's funny because one of the places that I drive, I actually drive by the place of employment for where one of the other group members that was in the group at that time works. And it's funny because every single day I think about that guy twice. And it's funny, as I drive by where he works and I think about him twice, and typically, even on my return trip home, I hit a couple of things that I'm grateful for, because that's the part that triggers me, and it's just become habit. It's what I do every single day. It makes me feel better, makes me feel better about myself. It makes gives me a better outlook on the day, because some days I have really hectic days coming up, and I know they're stressful, and I know what's coming, but it's nothing that I can't handle because I'm grateful for all the things in my life. And every day what I'm grateful for is different. It's not always the same, but it's just something that happened. And so I shared that with the group, and a lot of those guys that were in that group started doing the same thing, and they could even commented about how it had a positive impact on their lives. So I think it's something that's extremely important, and that's why I choose gratitude as something that I make sure that I list off out loud something I'm grateful for every day, because it has all these benefits. Well, not only that, there's research that shows that happiness, to me, going through my gratitude thing makes me happy. It's something that brings happiness to me, because happiness isn't something that you get. It's something that you are. You either are or you are not happy. It's not something that, like, things don't make you happy. You're a happy person or you're not. But happiness has a positive impact on your overall health and longevity. Just being positive is linked to things like our immune system health, our cardiovascular health, lower levels of cortisol, which is our stress hormone, healthy hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis. We heal wounds better when we're happy. And it also has protective effects and benefits to our telomeres. Now, telomeres, for those of you who may not know, are the ends of our strands of DNA that when your telomeres run out, you're not going to replicate your DNA anymore, and you're going to rapidly age, and your time is up pretty quickly after that. So these are things that research identifies as positive effects of just, or as effects of just being positive. So what we tell ourselves, how we think, what we do is important. These are things that really have an impact on our lives. And this is something that I work with a lot of my clients about, is working on them being positive to themselves, and it tends to make them happier. That's just a, you know, thought, and that's one of the things that I think is extremely important for people. And it's a way to break the monotony and the routine of, how you doing? Oh, I'm tired. Oh, I'm exhausted. Oh, I'm sick. Oh, I'm not doing so great. Oh, I'm depressed. Oh, I'm this. Because, like I said before, whatever follows the word I am is one of the most powerful words in the English language. And whatever it is true for you.
Right. And this is because of neuroplasticity.
Yes, neuroplasticity. You're training your brain how to be. So every time you say something negative, you're reinforcing to your brain that that is what you should be. Every time you tell yourself something positive, you're training your brain that that's how you should be. There's actually, we've got to take a break. I want to get this in right before the break, because I've got some other stuff to talk about. There is a TED Talk out there delivered by Amy Cuddy, Cuddy, and she talks about the Superwoman pose and how that affects cortisol levels in the body. I highly recommend that you go out and check out that talk. I don't know how long it is. It doesn't matter how long it is. It's worth your time to go out and watch this talk by Amy Cuddy, because she talks about how this has such an impact on the cellular level of our overall health. And ultimately, that's what we're after. We're trying to help people think about themselves in a more positive light and be healthier. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about this whole neuroplasticity thing and how we can train our brain both positive and negatively, and we want to, you know, reinforce the positive things. You're listening to Wellness 101. Hey, welcome back to the show, everyone. If you're just tuning in, today on Wellness 101, we are talking about positive thought and the psychology, positive psychology, and how it can improve your health. But we've also touched on how negative self-talk, negative psychology can negatively affect your health. And right before the break, Aaron brought up a term called neuroplasticity. And neuroplasticity is just the ability that our brain has to change based on stimulus, our thoughts, our behaviors, and our emotions. Like, we can literally retrain and we rewire our brains. And it all has to do with our habits. The things that we do, we become over and over and over again. We pay attention to these things. So there's a book out there. It's a pretty good book. I've read excerpts of it. I've read parts of it. I haven't read the entire book. There are a lot of books out there that I haven't read the entire book of. But this one, I really like this one. The book is The Emotional Life of Your Brain. It was written by Davidson and Begley, Begley. And basically in that book, they state that neuroplasticity explains why we have, like, violinists, and they, in their brain, they show extra development in regions that control dexterity of the hands. But cab drivers, then specifically they looked at cab drivers in London, have great spatial memory. So we're talking about different areas of the brain that are you know, amplified and are more, you know, they operate better in the area of the brain that's specific to what you do. So they looked at violinists in this study, but it's going to be anyone that works with their hands like that. Violinists, typists, stenographers, guitar players, you know, any instrument, any handheld instrument, they're going to have that area of their brain lit up. Whereas people like cab drivers they know the streets and the stuff and the, you know, all the directions and everything, but they're also learning, like, where things are. Somebody tells them an address, they in their brain, they may not think of that address. They may know the building and see the building associated with that address. That's how interesting this is, that your brain can completely rewire. And if you, say, were a cab driver and you started to play the violin, you would start wiring and greasing those pathways to show your brain could change too. Everyone can do this. And it's just the term is neuroplasticity. It's just our body's ability to, our brain's ability to change and rewire based on what we're doing. And positive psychology, positive self-talk, positive beliefs in ourselves do the same thing. They switch our mindset. So if you're focusing on problems, you're going to see more problems. If you're focusing on positivity, you're going to see more positivity. What you think about, you bring about.
Right. It's also, though, I think, you know, we also get in these, like, neural loops, like, where we're so used to looking at things a certain way. It has to be a positive action that you're making, you know, affirmative action. You have to be conscious of it. Or it's not just, you know, you're not just going to turn positive because if you're used to being negative most of your life, that becomes, you know, and part of that's habit. Part of it is just, you know, these neural loops that you get into and you have to consciously work to change.
No, that's exactly right. It's bred into us. Well, I say bred into us. It's a learned behavior. It's definitely a learned behavior that, if your parents were negative all the time, you're going to have a really hard time switching over and being positive, because all you heard for your formative years of life was negativity, negativity, negativity. If all you read is negativity, like, there are a lot of people that when they start doing this, this is just me reporting back what people tell me has happened when they start to do these things that we may talk about in a visit or things about being positive. Many, many times they come back and they're like, oh my gosh, I quit watching the news. I can't handle all the negativity. And I'm like, yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, when was the last time you rarely hear positive stories on the news? It's always negative, negative, negative.
At least the evening news. And you know this, I am a morning news person because I tend to watch shows that include positive things, so you get, like, what's going on in the world.
Oh, she's talking about her morning boost on the Today Show and and Pop Start on the Today Show, talking about the positive things that are going on, but at least they're reporting it.
It's going back and forth, you know, so, like, you do hear what is going on, you know, the general news, but you hear positive things as well. I won't watch the evening news. I just don't.
Yeah, it's always war and who's doing, who killed who, and it's terrible stuff. No one really truly wants to hear that. The sad thing is that if that's just on in the background, that's feeding this negativity loop.
Especially if you become invested in it. I mean, yeah. You know, how many times have, you know, you've seen people who are so mad about something they heard on the news, and I'm just like, does it directly impact your life right now? Then maybe focus on the things that, you know, you can change in your life right now. Let that stuff go.
Right.
I mean.
Right. No, that's exactly right. So there are things that you can do to rewire your brain for positivity. And I want to talk a little bit about this. There are some things. We may not get through all of this, but I want to at least throw some things out there for you to consider and think about. One of these things is choosing your words carefully. The things that come out of your mouth matter. The things that you tell yourself matter. There is pessimistic thinking versus optimistic thinking. There are, you know, if you're a pessimist, you're telling yourself how bad things are, versus an optimist, you're always looking at how good things are. One of the examples that is given here is that your problem, like if your problems are always permanent versus your problems being temporary, right? Everyone has problems. I'm not denying the fact that everyone has problems, but pessimistic thinking that's going to create physiological problems for your body are saying to yourself things like, this is always going to be a problem for me, versus things like, this too shall pass.
And I want to add something. I want to add a couple of things to that.
Sure.
First of all, I think that it makes a difference. I mean, a lot of people have trouble flipping this around. Like, so if you want to lose weight, instead of, you know, telling yourself I'm fat or I am, you know, I'm overweight, I can't ever lose weight, the alternative is not, oh, I'm fine, I'm skinny.
Right.
You know, a lot of people think like, okay, yeah, I'll just tell myself I'm skinny. Like, that doesn't work. Like, the alternative is, okay, what are the things that you can benefit through that? I'm showing, you know, I'm working hard at my health. I'm showing my kids that you know, your health is something to take seriously, and you have to work towards it. You know, you're becoming a good example. You are making yourself a priority.
Right.
You know, I mean, there are all of these things.
I am exercising.
Right.
I am eating the foods that I'm supposed to eat.
Right.
I am making the choices.
And so maybe I am not strong, but I'm not skinny, but I am strong.
That's
you
right.
You know, I mean, so there are benefits. So I think it's not just doing the flip side of that. So it's not lying to yourself. It's finding the positive in it.
Right.
And the other thing is, if, you know, for like the weight example, or if, you know, you have pain or something, what I, you know, have always done and continue to do is to get curious. You know, so if you're in pain, instead of just constantly saying I'm in pain and this isn't working, think, you know, okay, what is changing it? Like, what causes it? Is there something that causes it? Is there something that makes it better or worse?
Right.
You know, and if you can't find those answers, then go to someone who can help. You know, I mean, any sort of symptom, we've talked about this a million times, should be the start of a conversation. It's when a symptom is when you get curious. So if, you know, you're struggling with something, you know, that's when you go on the hunt to figure out why it's happening, not get, you know, frustrated that it is, because
right.
it is, you know, I mean, it's something you're going to deal with regardless.
That's ultimately what Aaron just described is ultimately the definition of mindfulness. It's just being aware of what's going on with you. And then what she's talking about is then taking a step like, okay, I'm aware that there is this issue. Can I be aware of what's causing this problem? Right? Then identifying and maneuvering with that. Sometimes people need help. Sometimes people just need our help in the office or someone else's help to help them not just, like you said, do the opposite of that. Not just say, well, I'm overweight. Well, I'm thin. Because that just does not work.
Right.
And that's never going to work.
No.
And you know, for those of you out there who may be struggling with that, that's not the way to go about this. Like Aaron said, you've got to figure out telling yourself you're taking your health. I am making my health a priority. I am eating the right foods. I am exercising. And then doing those things. Those are the steps that are necessary to help you maneuver through the mindfulness game to figure that out.
Yeah. Or even just saying, you know, I am persistent. I'm not going to give up. You know, like if you, you know, planned on working out one day, you know, or a whole week and you haven't done it, you know, I mean, things come up and people have a lot of other things going on. Say, you know what? I'm not giving up. I'm not going to let it get me. I'm going to continue on and I'm going to, you know, figure this out. I think just try to find something positive in it that you can focus on and, you know, get your mind away from the negative parts, because I've been there and I know it's hard in some situations to find the positive part of it.
Right. All right, we got to take another break. When we come back, I can't believe the show's almost over. When we come back, we're going to continue talking about ways that you can rewire your brain for positivity and then wrap this show up. You're listening to Wellness.
You're listening to Wellness 101, brought to you by the Institute of Natural Health. For more information, visit them online at theinstituteofnaturalhealth.com or by phone at 314-293-8123.
And welcome back to the show, everyone. If you're just tuning in, today we are, well, we have been talking about positive psychology, positive self-talk, how that impacts your overall health. And in the last segment, we started talking about strategies to help you start to rewire your own brain, work through the neuroplasticity, and help you start talking to yourself in a positive manner. And one of the things that we just talked about was how you can, how changing the way you think is not the easiest thing to do, and being mindful, figuring out what it is that causing any negative thoughts is an important first step, and then starting to change that self-talk into a more positive and more of a positive light. Now, the next thing that you can do is remember past wins. Figure out or think back.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste, because you know all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone! Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one!
Or draft pick number one!
one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Hey, welcome back to the show, everyone. If you're just tuning in, today on Wellness 101, we are talking about positive thought and the psychology, positive psychology and how it can improve your health. But we've also touched on how negative self-talk, negative psychology can negatively affect your health. And right before the break, Aaron brought up a term called neuroplasticity. And neuroplasticity is just the ability that our brain has to change based on stimulus, our thoughts, our behaviors, and our emotions. Like, we can literally retrain and we rewire our brains. And it all has to do with our habits. The things that we do, we become over and over and over again. We pay attention to these things. So there's a book out there. It's a pretty good book. I've read excerpts of it. I've read parts of it. I haven't read the entire book. There are a lot of books out there that I haven't read the entire book of. But this one, I really like this one. The book is The Emotional Life of Your Brain. It was written by Davidson and Begley, Begley. And basically in that book, they state that neuroplasticity explains why we have, like, violinists, and they, in their brain, they show extra development in regions that control dexterity of the hands. But cab drivers, and specifically they looked at cab drivers in London, have great spatial memory. So we're talking about different areas of the brain that are you know, amplified and are more, you know, they operate better in the area of the brain that's specific to what you do. So they looked at violinists in this study, but it's going to be anyone that works with their hands like that. Violinists, typists, stenographers, guitar players, you know, any instrument, any handheld instrument, they're going to have that area of their brain lit up. Whereas people like cab drivers they know the streets and the stuff and the, you know, all the directions and everything, but they're also learning, like, where things are. Somebody tells them an address, they, in their brain, they may not think of that address. They may know the building and see the building associated with that address. That's how interesting this is, that your brain can completely rewire. And if you, say, were a cab driver and you started to play the violin, you would start wiring and greasing those pathways to show your brain could change too. Everyone can do this. And it's just the term is neuroplasticity. It's just our body's ability to, our brain's ability to change and rewire based on what we're doing. And positive psychology, positive self-talk, positive beliefs in ourselves do the same thing. They switch our mindset. So if you're focusing on problems, you're going to see more problems. If you're focusing on positivity, you're going to see more positivity. What you think about, you bring about.
Right. It's also, though, I think, you know, we also get in these, like, neural loops, like, where we're so used to looking at things a certain way. It has to be a positive action that you're making, you know, affirmative action. You have to be conscious of it. Or it's not just, you know, you're not just going to turn positive because if you are used to being negative most of your life, that becomes, you know, and part of that's habit. Part of it is just, you know, these neural loops that you get into and you have to consciously work to change.
No, that's exactly right. It's bred into us. Well, I say bred into us. It's a learned behavior. It's definitely a learned behavior that, if your parents were negative all the time, you're going to have a really hard time switching over and being positive, because all you heard for your formative years of life was negativity, negativity, negativity. If all you read is negativity, like, there are a lot of people that when they start doing this, this is just me reporting back what people tell me has happened when they start to do these things that we may talk about in a visit or things about being positive. Many, many times they come back and they're like, oh my gosh, I quit watching the news. I can't handle all the negativity. As I try, and I'm like, yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, when was the last time you rarely hear positive stories on the news? It's always negative, negative, negative.
At least the evening news, and you know this. I am a morning news person because I tend to watch shows that include positive things, so you get like what's going on in the world.
Oh, she's talking about her morning boost on the Today Show and and pop start on the Today Show, talking about the positive things that are going on, but at least they're reporting it.
It's going back and forth, you know, so like you do hear what is going on, you know, the general news, but you hear positive things as well. I won't watch the evening news. Yeah. I just don't.
Yeah, it's always war and who's doing, who killed who, and it's terrible stuff. No one really truly wants to hear that. The sad thing is that if that's just on in the background, that's feeding this negativity loop.
Especially if you become invested in it. I mean, yeah. You know, how many times have you seen people who are so mad about something they heard on the news? And I'm just like, does it directly impact your life right now? Then maybe focus on the things that, you know, you can change in your life right now. Let that stuff go.
Right.
I mean.
Right. No, that's exactly right. So there are things that you can do to rewire your brain for positivity. And I want to talk a little bit about this. There are some things. We may not get through all of this, but I want to at least throw some things out there for you to consider and think about. One of these things is choosing your words carefully. The things that come out of your mouth matter. The things that you tell yourself matter. There is pessimistic thinking versus optimistic thinking. There are, you know, if you're a pessimist, you're telling yourself how bad things are versus an optimist, you're always looking at how good things are. One of the examples that is given here is that your problem, like if your problems are always permanent versus your problems being temporary, right? Everyone has problems. I'm not denying the fact that everyone has problems, but pessimistic thinking that's going to create physiological problems for your body are saying to yourself things like, this is always going to be a problem for me, versus things like, this too shall pass.
Yeah, and I want to add something. I want to add a couple of things to that.
Sure.
First of all, I think that it makes a difference. I mean, a lot of people have trouble flipping this around. Like, so if you want to lose weight, instead of, you know, telling yourself I'm fat or I am, you know, I'm overweight, I can't ever lose weight, the alternative is not, oh, I'm fine, I'm skinny.
Right.
You know, a lot of people think like, okay, yeah, I'll just tell myself I'm skinny. Like, that doesn't work. Like, the alternative is, okay, what are the things that you can benefit through that? I'm showing, you know, I'm working hard at my health. I'm showing my kids that you know, your health is something to take seriously, and you have to work towards it. You know, you're becoming a good example. You are making yourself a priority.
Right.
You know, I mean, there are all of these
things. I am
things.
Exercising.
Right.
I am eating the foods that I'm supposed to eat.
Right.
I'm making the choices.
And so maybe I am not strong, but I'm not skinny, but I am strong.
That's
you
right.
You know, I mean, so there are benefits. So I think it's not just doing the flip side of that. So it's not lying to yourself. It's finding the positive in it.
Right.
And the other thing is, if, you know, for like the weight example, or if, you know, you have pain or something, what I, you know, I've always done and continue to do is to get curious. You know, so if you're in pain, instead of just constantly saying I'm in pain and this isn't working, think, you know, okay, what is changing it? Like, what causes it? Is there something that causes it? Is there something that makes it better or worse?
Right.
You know, and if you can't find those answers, then go to someone who can help. You know, I mean, any sort of symptom, we've talked about this a million times, should be the start of a conversation. It's when a symptom is when you get curious. So if, you know, you're struggling with something, you know, that's when you go on the hunt to figure out why it's happening, not get, you know, frustrated that it is, because
right.
it is, you know, I mean, it's something you're going to deal with regardless.
That's ultimately what Aaron just described is ultimately the definition of mindfulness. It's just being aware of what's going on with you. And then what she's talking about is then taking a step like, okay, I'm aware that there is this issue. Can I be aware of what's causing this problem? Right? Then identifying and maneuvering with that. Sometimes people need help. Sometimes people just need our help in the office or someone else's help to help them not just, like you said, do the opposite of that. Not just say, well, I'm overweight, well, I'm thin. Because that just does not work.
Right.
And that's never going to work.
No.
And you know, for those of you out there who may be struggling with that, that's not the way to go about this. Like Aaron said, you've got to figure out telling yourself you're taking your health. I am making my health a priority. I am eating the right foods. I am exercising. And then doing those things. Those are the steps that are necessary to help you maneuver through the mindfulness game to figure that out.
Yeah. Or even just saying, you know, I am persistent. I'm not going to give up. You know, like if you, you know, planned on working out one day, you know, or a whole week and you haven't done it, you know, I mean, things come up and people have a lot of other things going on. Say, you know what? I'm not giving up. I'm not going to let it get me. I'm going to continue on and I'm going to, you know, figure this out. I think just try to find something positive in it that you can focus on and, you know, get your mind away from the negative parts, because I've been there and I know it's hard in some situations to find the positive part of it.
Right. All right, we got to take another break. When we come back, I can't believe the show's almost over. When we come back, we're going to continue talking about ways that you can rewire your brain for positivity and then wrap this show up. You're listening to Wellness.
You're listening to Wellness 101, brought to you by the Institute of Natural Health. For more information, visit them online at theinstituteofnaturalhealth.com or by phone at 314-293-8123.
And welcome back to the show, everyone. If you're just tuning in, today we are, well, we have been talking about positive psychology, positive self-talk, how that impacts your overall health. And the last segment, we started talking about strategies to help you start to rewire your own brain, work through the neuroplasticity, and help you start talking to yourself in a positive manner. And one of the things that we just talked about was how you can, how changing the way you think is not the easiest thing to do, and being mindful, figuring out what it is that causing any negative thoughts is an important first step, and then starting to change that self-talk into a more positive and more of a positive light. Now, the next thing that you can do is remember past wins. Figure out or think back to things or times where things went right. What was going on around that? What led to that going right, or what led to that success? What did you learn from that? Who helped you in that? Focusing on past wins can be a huge player in thinking about, okay, how can I win again? As opposed to focusing on any failures and then telling yourself that you're a failure over and over again.
Right. And I think, and it doesn't have to be directly related to what you're talking about, you know.
No.
Like, it doesn't have to be a prior, you know, weight loss win.
No.
I know that when I was going through my health problems, I would focus on the fact, like, well, I mean, I'm smart, so I can figure this out. You know, I mean, like, my health was horrible, but I'm just like, well, I mean, I, you know, at least intellectually should be able to figure out who to go to and, you know, to help me, you know, figure out this problem. And it's also, you know, how I had talked about before, now having gone through that, anything that comes up in my life, I go back to, you know, overcoming all of my health problems and, you know, some other things that have happened in my life, and I'm just like, well, I'm fine.
Yeah.
You know, I will be okay.
Right.
And I think once you get, you know, a couple of wins under your belt, that stuff becomes easier.
Yeah. It's thinking, and it's knowing the strategies that worked for you in the past. Those same strategies work for you in the future. And it's like, this goes to like business and life in general. The strategies that work always work, right? The things that worked for you in the past will work for you again. And it's an easy process once you start identifying and realizing, oh, okay, I've got to think of something else that I want. Maybe it's the strategy is how you landed the dream job that you have, and what are the things that you did to help you get there? Those are the same types of things that can help you with your positive outlook on your own health. And another thing, maybe this is the last thing we talk about, is try a happiness intervention. So there are a lot of different things that you can do for a happiness intervention. And like I said before, happiness is not something that you get. It's something that you are. But there are habits that you can do that ensure that you maintain or keep your happiness. Happiness can be fleeting. Happiness can leave you. But if you're a general, overall happy person, you're going to feel better about yourself. You're going to feel better about others. You're going to feel better about how you interact with people. But if you do like a happiness writing, you can do a little exercise where it can help you stop negative thoughts from taking over. So you just get a pen. You think about what your life looks like several years into the future. And then imagine yourself as reasonably successful. You don't have to imagine yourself as the next billionaire or whatever. Just reasonably successful. Something attainable. Don't put down something that's not attainable. We need an attainable goal. You've accomplished some of them, and your life, you know, some of these goals in your life has improved. Maybe you've got 20 goals that you're trying to accomplish, and you're writing about what it looks like when you've accomplished those first 10 or 15 of them. Then write about what that future life is. Write it for 5 minutes. And then, you know, you're not worrying about things like grammar. We're not worrying about perfection. We're just writing about those things. And then after you're done, look at what you've written and how do you feel after you've written that, right? Did you learn anything about what you're going through? Do you feel motivated to take small steps to get the future that you wrote about? It's all about these baby steps and these things that you can just knock off your list that make you feel better. I mean, we all feel better if we write, you know, Aaron writes down 55 things every single weekend that I've got to do. And every weekend I'm like, golly, can the list be any longer? But it always feels good as I start ripping those things off and just crossing them off as we go.
I'm one of those people that writes down every tiny little thing because we'll forget tiny little things. And right. Then we get to
It's so tiny. It's like clean dishes, wash fork, wash spoon.
No, it's not. But I have learned that if I need TJ to help with laundry, I need to say wash clothes, put clothes in dryer, fold clothes, put clothes away, because those are apparently all different steps.
You leave the clothes in the washer one time overnight.
Or fold them once and leave them on the dryer because I didn't put the clothes away after they're folded.
Laundry is not my thing.
It's not normally.
Cooking is more my speed. Laundry is not my thing. But those are things like you just feel good when you start to tick those things off. So these are just little things. This is something that you can do. You can do this daily. You can do this weekly. You can do this monthly. Just make it a habit. It's all about creating new habits and new positive self-talk. It's worrying about yourself, putting yourself first for once, especially all of you parents out there that are always constantly putting your kids first. You got to take a few minutes every day and put yourself first and worry about yourself. This is the same example of the airplane analogy where they say, in the event of loss of cabin pressure, an oxygen mask will fall from the ceiling, and put yours on before you try to help someone else. Why do they tell you that? They tell you that because if you don't put the mask on yourself, you're not going to be around to put the mask on someone else. You have to take care of yourself, and then you can take care of those around you. And that's true in all aspects of life. Worry about yourself, take control of yourself, and this starts with how we speak to ourselves. It starts with our own positive self-talk. What we say to ourselves matter. Like I said before, the moral of this story goes back to, I have this conversation with a lot of people, the most powerful word in the English language is the word that follows I am, because whatever that word is true for you, and you've got to break that habit. When someone asks me, how you doing? I'm awesome. It's always the word that comes out of my mouth, or I'm great, or things are great. It's always something positive, because it changes the whole concept. I walk into rooms, patient rooms and visits, and say, tell me something good. Right? I force the behavior of positivity, because if we don't force that behavior of positivity, you run the risk of things spiraling out of control in the negative. So I'll leave you with that. That's about all the time that we have for today's show. I want to thank you all for listening. If you like what you've heard, share it, throw it out there, recommend it, subscribe to our podcast. If you need more information, visit our website, inhstl.com. You can call us, 314-293-8123. We're always happy to hear from you. Reach out to us on Instagram. INHSTL is our Instagram handle for everything. Follow us, like us, comment. We'll respond. Email. If you have questions, comments, concerns, please reach out. We're happy to hear from you, and we love to hear from you and interact with you guys. So that's about all the time that we have for today. For Aaron, I'm Dr. TJ. This has been Wellness 101. Thanks for listening. And welcome back to the show, everyone. If you're just tuning in, today we are, well, we have been talking about positive psychology, positive self-talk, how that impacts your overall health. And the last segment we started talking about strategies to help you start to rewire your own brain, work through the neuroplasticity, and help you start talking to yourself in a positive manner. And one of the things that we just talked about was how you can, how changing the way you think is not the easiest thing to do, and being mindful, figuring out what it is that's causing any negative thoughts is an important first step, and then starting to change that self-talk into a more positive and more of a positive light. Now, the next thing that you can do is remember past wins. Figure out or think back to things or times where things went right. What was going on around that? What led to that going right, or what led to that success? What did you learn from that? Who helped you in that? Focusing on past wins can be a huge player in thinking about, okay, how can I win again? As opposed to focusing on any failures and then telling yourself that you're a failure over and over again.
Right. And I think, and it doesn't have to be directly related to what you're talking about. You know,
no.
Like it doesn't have to be a prior, weight loss win.
No.
I know that when I was going through my health problems, I would focus on the fact like, well, I mean, I'm smart, so I can figure this out. You know, I mean, like my health was horrible, but I'm just like, well, I mean, at least intellectually should be able to figure out who to go to and, to help me, figure out this problem. And it's also, how I had talked about before, now having gone through that, anything that comes up in my life, I go back to, overcoming all of my health problems and, some other things that have happened in my life. And I'm just like, well, I'm fine.
Yeah.
I will be okay.
Right.
And I think once you get, a couple of wins under your belt, that stuff becomes easier.
Yeah. It's thinking and it's knowing the strategies that worked for you in the past. Those same strategies work for you in the future. And it's like, this goes to like business and life in general. The strategies that work always work, right? The things that worked for you in the past will work for you again. And it's an easy process once you start identifying and realizing, oh, okay, I've got to think of something else that I want. Maybe it's the strategy is how you landed the dream job that you have. And what are the things that you did to help you get there? Those are the same types of things that can help you with your positive outlook on your own health. And another thing, maybe this is the last thing we talk about, is try a happiness intervention. So there are a lot of different things that you can do for a happiness intervention. And like I said before, happiness is not something that you get. It's something that you are. But there are habits that you can do that ensure that you maintain or keep your happiness. Happiness can be fleeting. Happiness can leave you. But if you're a general, overall happy person, you're going to feel better about yourself. You're going to feel better about others. You're going to feel better about how you interact with people. But if you do like a happiness writing, you can do a little exercise where you It can help you stop negative thoughts from taking over. So you just get a pen, you think about what your life looks like several years into the future. And then imagine yourself as reasonably successful. You don't have to imagine yourself as the next billionaire or whatever. Just reasonably successful, something attainable. Don't put down something that's not attainable. We need an attainable goal. You've accomplished some of them. And your life, you know, some of these goals in your life has improved. Maybe you've got 20 goals that you're trying to accomplish, and you're writing about what it looks like when you've accomplished those first 10 or 15 of them. Then write about what that future life is. Write it for 5 minutes. And then, you know, you're not worrying about things like grammar. We're not worrying about perfection. We're just writing about those things. And then after you're done, look at what you've written and how do you feel after you've written that, right? Did you learn anything about what you're going through? Do you feel motivated to take small steps to get the future that you wrote about? It's all about these baby steps and these things that you can just knock off your list that make you feel better. I mean, we all feel better if we write, you know, Aaron writes down 55 things every single weekend that I've got to do. And every weekend I'm like, golly, can the list be any longer? But it always feels good as I start ripping those things off and just crossing them off as we go.
I'm one of those people that writes down every tiny little thing because we'll forget tiny little things. Right. And then we get to
It's so tiny. It's like clean dishes, wash fork, wash spoon.
No, it's not. But I have learned that if I need TJ to help with laundry, I need to say wash clothes, put clothes in dryer, fold clothes, put clothes away, because those are apparently all different steps.
You leave the clothes in the washer one time overnight.
Or fold them once and leave them on the dryer because I didn't put the clothes away after they're folded.
Laundry is not my thing.
It's not normally.
Cooking is more my speed. Laundry is not my thing. But those are things like you just feel good when you start to tick those things off. So these are just little things. This is something that you can do. You can do this daily. You can do this weekly. You can do this monthly. Just make it a habit. It's all about creating new habits and new positive self-talk. It's worrying about yourself, putting yourself first for once, especially all of you parents out there that are always constantly putting your kids first. You got to take a few minutes every day and put yourself first and worry about yourself. This is the same example of the airplane analogy where they say, in the event of loss of cabin pressure, an oxygen mask will fall from the ceiling, and put yours on before you try to help someone else. Why do they tell you that? They tell you that because if you don't put the mask on yourself, you're not going to be around to put the mask on someone else. You have to take care of yourself, and then you can take care of those around you. And that's true in all aspects of life. Worry about yourself, take control of yourself, and this starts with how we speak to ourselves. It starts with our own positive self-talk. What we say to ourselves matter. Like I said before, the moral of this story goes back to, I have this conversation with a lot of people. The most powerful word in the English language is the word that follows I am, because whatever that word is true for you. And you've got to break that habit. When someone asks me, how you doing? I'm awesome. It's always the word that comes out of my mouth. Or I'm great, or things are great. It's always something positive, because it changes the whole concept. I walk into rooms, patient rooms and visits, and say, tell me something good. Right? I force the behavior of positivity, because if we don't force that behavior of positivity, you run the risk of things spiraling out of control in the negative. So I'll leave you with that. That's about all the time that we have for today's show. I want to thank you all for listening. If you like what you've heard, share it, throw it out there, recommend it, subscribe to our podcast. If you need more information, visit our website, inhstl.com. You can call us, 314-293-8123. We're always happy to hear from you. Reach out to us on Instagram. INHSTL is our Instagram handle for everything. Follow us like us, comment, we'll respond, email. If you have questions, comments, concerns, please reach out. We're happy to hear from you, and we love to hear from you and interact with you guys. So that's about all the time that we have for today. For Aaron, I'm Dr. TJ. This has been Wellness 101. Thanks for listening.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.